Recently, I celebrated a funeral here at Presentation Parish for someone who was not a member of the parish and actually an individual whom I only ever met one single time. His mom was present for her son's funeral. She was 91 years old, is 91 years old. And she was in a wheelchair sitting right in the front row. And I wanted to go up to her afterwards. I'd never met this woman, never seen her before, and offer my condolences. And I walked up to her, and even though her body is debilitated in different ways, her mind is as sharp as can be. And I walked up to her after the Mass, and before I could get out a single word, she just takes both of my hands and she kisses them. And I was so profoundly moved. It's not often that someone kisses my hands, but I knew immediately why she had done it. Because they are consecrated. She was reverencing the priesthood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason why she had done that is because 6 weeks earlier, I got a phone call here at the parish from a nurse. She says, "Father, there's a man here, and someone from the family has requested that you come see him. He's just found out that he has terminal cancer." And I said, "Okay." And the hospital is a distant hospital, and I'm thinking to myself, well, I don't think this guy's in a parish. I checked the database, and he's not a parishioner. I'm thinking to myself, I've never heard of this man before. I don't know anybody in his family. I don't know why they called me. And there's about 8 other Catholic churches closer to the hospital than I am, and I think that hospital has a chaplain. So maybe somebody else could go there. I've got a busy day. That's what I'm thinking in my mind. And then I think, okay, you know, somebody called me for a reason, and I'll go. And oftentimes when I'm going out to a hospital, I'll use that time to make some phone calls, get some work done. And I was free. And my mind was free. And I just think, I should pray for this man. I pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet. I start to invoke the saints. And I get to the hospital, and I go to his room. And a lot of families there, children, grandchildren. And I walk in, and you always want to make sure the person has the opportunity to go to confession, but you never want to start that way, right? You don't want to go in and say, "Hey, do you need confession or what?" So I brought Holy Communion, I brought sacred oil to anoint him, and I said, "You know, I have Holy Communion with me. Would you like to receive?" And he said, "Father, I can't." I said, "Okay." And I asked the family to leave the room, and I said, "Would you like to make a confession?" And he said, "Father, it's been over 50 years. He said, "I haven't made a confession since my first confession." He made a confession of all the sins of his entire life. And he died 6 weeks later. And so his mom was kissing my hands. Because that gift that our Lord Jesus Christ gave to the apostles continues in the church to the present day. The gift of forgiving sins by the power of the Holy Spirit. That man had been baptized, and so at one time in his life the Holy Spirit had dwelt in his soul. But the Holy Spirit could not remain through his serious transgressions. And the Holy Spirit was coming again to dwell within him to prepare him for heaven. Because what did we hear in the second reading today from Paul? If the Spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then that same Spirit will raise your mortal bodies one day. A person cannot go to heaven unless the Holy Spirit dwells in them. A week ago, last weekend, I get a text message from a parishioner. It says, "Father, can a non-Catholic be anointed? Can they receive the sacrament of the anointing of the sick?" And I said, "Well," I said, "a baptized person can, a Christian, because we believe there's only one baptism through which someone shares in the faith. And so long as they say, I believe in the power of what you believe, that sacrament accomplishes." And I said, "Is the person a Christian?" "No, they're of no religion. But someone has asked if you'd go visit their dad in the hospital." And again, I think to myself, well, what am I going to do, right? Okay, you know, I can say some prayers, maybe give him a blessing. I can't give him any sacraments. But same thing, I think, okay, you know, they asked, I should do it for the sake of the daughter. And I'm driving out and all of a sudden I'm thinking, what am I doing? Right? I got to baptize this man, right? This is what God wants to accomplish. So I start to pray, you know, Mother Mary, Holy Spirit, and I get out there. And the man, I said, do you have any religious background? No, Father, none. I said, okay, what do you consider yourself? And he says, well, I was once married to a Catholic. Okay. My daughter's become a Catholic. My grandchildren are Catholic. I said, do you believe in God? Yes. Okay, good, right? Do you believe in heaven? Yes. Okay, let me tell you something. God the Father has a Son. And in 2 minutes, I gave him the whole history of salvation. Right? Our Lord died on the cross, and it's through baptism that our sins are forgiven us and we share in the salvation that He won. Would you like to be baptized? Yes, Father, I would. I'm going to baptize that man in the next 3 days. He wanted to wait till he was out of the hospital home with his family in order to receive the gift of salvation. In order to have the Holy Spirit dwell within him so that he can live forever. Now, my brothers and sisters, our Heavenly Father is not, in a sense, confined by the sacraments. Can God give the Holy Spirit to someone outside of the gift of the sacraments? Yes, He can. We believe that. But what is the sure means of receiving the Holy Spirit? It is in and through the sacraments of the Church, which is why our Lord gave them to us. Now, when I left the hospital, after that man said, yes, I'd like to be baptized, I'm thinking to myself, man, that would have been the way to go. Right? To live however you want to live and then just get baptized at the end and heaven is yours. And then immediately, I'm like, okay, Lord, I know that's not true. And why is that not true? Because we do not believe that all souls are equal in heaven. We believe that there is a gradation. That we don't all share in the glory of God the same. We share in the glory of God to the degree that we were filled with the Holy Spirit in our lives on earth. And it's through baptism that we begin to receive the Holy Spirit in a seed-like form, just seminally. And the Holy Spirit wants to increase His life within us through the sacraments above all, through prayer. Every time we pray, we would not pray except by an inspiration of the Holy Spirit to lead us into prayer so that He can more abundantly dwell within us. And my brothers and sisters, there is a secret. And it's the secret that all the saints knew. What is the way by which to most attract the Holy Spirit to us? What human being, so not divine being, because our Lord Jesus Christ is divine, what human being was most filled with the Holy Spirit? Our Blessed Mother Mary. Just recently I was reading a book by St. Maximian Kolbe, and he uses this interesting phrase. He says, our Blessed Mother Mary was the quasi-incarnation of the Holy Spirit. Now, he didn't say she was the incarnation, because who is the incarnate God? Our Lord Jesus Christ, the second person of the Holy Trinity, took flesh. Now, Our Lady is not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not Our Lady. But the union that she shared with Him was so perfect that he says it was a quasi-incarnation. Everything she did in response to the movement of the Holy Spirit. Her entire life is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And wherever the Holy Spirit finds Our Lady, He pours Himself out. So the closer we draw to Mary, the more we are devoted to her, the more the Holy Spirit is going to come to us and fill us with Himself. And I want to close with this story. At Christmas, I was speaking of making a gift to our Lord Jesus Christ and asking Him if there was something He wanted to give to us for Christmas. A few days after Christmas, a parishioner calls me, a woman, a wife, mother, in her late 30s. And she says, Father, I want to share something with you and ask you if you think it was authentic. When you said that on Christmas, I immediately asked our Lord, is there something you want me to give to you? And the word surrender came to my mind. And I knew that that was from Him. that I needed all the more to abandon myself to Him. And so often I hold back. But then I said to Him, Lord, is there something that You want to give to me? And Father, I didn't hear these words, but they came to me, and they were my mother. She said, Father, could that really be? And I said, You will know by the fruits. So every day this year, take time in prayer and ask our Lord, Lord Jesus, if that was You speaking to me, I ask You to give me Your mother. In the next few weeks, the transformation that took place in her life was incredible. She said the things she had struggled with for years all of a sudden were easy. You know, this growth in virtue, this detachment from her sins. But I still was not convinced until she called me 6 weeks after Christmas and she said, Father, I have another question for You. I feel moved when I go to pray to say something to the Holy Spirit that I don't know if it's okay to say. I want to ask Him to take full possession of me. I feel like I should say to the Holy Spirit, possess me and let me possess You. Is it okay to say that? And I knew right then that our Lord was truly giving that woman His mom. Because now the Holy Spirit was coming to her powerfully. My brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit wants to take full possession of us. And it's something we should ask of Him. Holy Spirit, You are the Spirit of freedom, the Spirit of peace and of joy and of courage and mercy and kindness and patience. I want to share in all those as fully as I can. Come and take possession of me. Let us ask our Lord for that gift in a specific way when we receive Him today. The Holy Spirit is His Spirit.